All right, choir, come on, get up, ready to sing. Worship the Lord today.
Thank you, choir. Number 355 in the congregation. Your books are right there in front of the in the chairs in front of you. Number 305, let's 355. Let's stand and sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus. 355. Everybody, stand and join us. All right, sing out. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Grace of Jesus. Where shall we praise begin? Standing up here behind me. So you basses really sing out on that chorus. Let's sing the last together.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, preaching the most divine, by His transforming power, making you God's desire.
Sunday school this morning, we're talking about prayer and how when we begin our prayer, we ought to magnify the name of the Lord. And that's what that song does. So good to see everybody here today. As you can tell, our pastor's not here. He's up in Michigan this morning, where he told me just a little bit ago, it's 40 degrees and raining. So I'm glad it's up there and not here. But he wants you to pray for him today and these days ahead. And of course, he's praying for us. And so good to see everyone. We've got several visitors here today that we'll recognize in a little bit. But now we want to open our service with a word of prayer and that God will bless and honor. So let's bow for prayer. Father, indeed, You are a great God. And Lord, we are thankful to be in Your presence today here at this place. Lord, we don't take it lightly that we can gather, bring our family, our Bible, and Lord, bring ourselves to the house of God to worship You, Lord, who is worthy and do all praise and all glory and honor. Lord, magnify Yourself here today, Lord, and help us to have the right spirit of worship. Lord, meet every need of every soul. Bless the singing, the giving, the praying, the preaching. And Lord, may Your perfect will be done in this service today. And we'll lift our unworthy hearts toward Thee and say, it's all because of You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
favorite songs right there. We enjoy "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Well, we've got some visitors among us. We'll meet you all in just a minute. But let's everybody stand. We're going to have a time of fellowship while the choir comes down. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. Go ahead and stand while we come down.
If everybody will find a sitting down spot somewhere nearby in your place there, we'll get on with the service today. Yeah, good spirit in the house of the Lord today. And so good to see everyone. Get closer. Get closer. All right. Get closer. All right. But we're thrilled to have everybody here today. Again, our pastor's up in Michigan. So pray for him as he preaches today. And again, we want to welcome everybody here today. Let me go ahead and let you know who our visitors are. Right up here at the front here is Jeff Matthews. He works for FEMA and is here in the area helping with the flood, Florence flood, and all that's going on with that. He's got his hands full, don't he? And I said, Jeff, how'd you find out about our church? Can anybody guess how we found out about the church? On the internet. So that's a good ministry for us, and we appreciate, Jeff, you being here today. What town do you live in, Jeff?
Pilot Point, Texas.
Pilot Point, Texas. Wow. So he's a long way from home. But listen, we can be home away from home for just a little while for him, and good to have him here. Good to have Kenny here from Atlanta, Georgia. He's here with his mom's Miss Ramona. Good to have them. We'll introduce Brother Tim Griffin in a little bit, but he's got his son here, and son-in-law, Trent, and his wife and two boys. And so good to have them here today. And I think everybody else is home folk, I believe. By way of some prayer requests, Let me give you these names. With Miss Ramona's back home from the hospital, doing much better. I pray for Dwight McCall Jr. You'll recognize these names in the needs. Heather Castles, Joshua Walters, Brother Jimmy Rose. I got to spend some time with Brother Jimmy yesterday up in Greenville, and he's a little discouraged, so we need to pray for Brother Jimmy Rose when you do. Brother Ed McAbee, Brother Brian Shannon, then Brother Jerry Peacock. You got the email, the text. Brother Peacock, the contractor for our building here, is in the hospital. Pray for him. Miss Shirley Hughes, I got to speak with Brother Richard yesterday. Miss Shirley's not doing well. Of course, she's on hospice now. And he told me she's not wanting to eat very much now. So do pray for Miss Shirley. And then Judy Branham called me just before Sunday school. She was up all night with her leg hurting, and she was just in tears. And she said, "Brother Steve, we hope we can be there tonight." So pray for Miss Judy. And then I understand that Miss Bobby Alexander had to go home, wasn't feeling well after Sunday school. So pray for Miss Bobby when you pray in the days ahead. All right? Now, let's see what else I got here. Revival at Beacon Baptist Church in Lexington. I think that starts tomorrow. Stan Wardlaw preaching. So you folks that live up there, if you can make your way there, that would be a real good thing. Okay? Brian, you've got some announcements.
All right, we got choir practice today at 4:30, so all the choir make their way up here at 4:30 this afternoon, and then the service, of course, at 5:30. We hope all of you are back. Brother Terrell Rose will be here tonight, our missionary to Brazil, and that's Brother Jimmy Rose's son, who he was just talking about. So I'm sure he'll have some things to say about his dad and about his ministry in Brazil, and also preach the word to us. So you'll love Brother Terrell and his family. They'll be here tonight. Wednesday night service will be at 7 o'clock as always. This is the first Thursday of the month, which will be the service at the Waterford at 7 o'clock on Thursday coming. So if you need any details about that, see my dad and he'll fill you in. Sewing Saturday will be this Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, on the 6th. 10 o'clock we'll meet here at the church, and this is for the men. And we'll go knocking on doors, telling people about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we hope all the men can make their way here at 10 o'clock this coming Saturday. Now, later in the month, keep in mind our trunk or treat on the 26th. That's the Friday evening. Does everybody know what trunks they're doing, and have they reported that? If you haven't, let Bethany know, but I think maybe everybody pretty much knows what they're going to be doing at this point. And don't forget about the cake bake competition. We got a bunch of men signed up down there already. So if you haven't signed up yet, the competition will be fierce. And so you'll want to do that. I hope the cakes won't be too fierce. But you know what I mean? But we're gonna give it a shot, okay? So you men, and I think we get some judges lined up, judges who are going to tell it like it is and not hold back their opinions. And if you make a bad cake, they'll make you feel real bad about it. So don't make a bad one. No, they won't do that. I'm just kidding. All right, so if you haven't signed up, that sign-up sheet is still down there for that cake bake competition for the men. And then one other thing I want to give you, we're announcing for the first time today. As you know, every year, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, we got a very busy month of October. We're actually going to have our Pastor Appreciation Sunday on the first Sunday in November. That'll be November 4th. But technically, this month will be Pastor Appreciation Month, and you'll be making preparations for that during this month. We will have some details for all of you in regards to what you can do for Pastor Appreciation Month, but we just wanted to go ahead and announce that the Sunday, November 4th, will be Pastor Appreciation Sunday. It'll be a special service. We plan to have a special preacher, special music, special everything. So you're going to want to be here for that special service and invite people to come with you. Sometimes, you know, when people, you have special services at church, people maybe more apt to come. So be inviting people already. You got a month. You got 5 weeks to prepare for that. Just keep that in mind. It'll be a wonderful day of the Lord on November 4th. One more thing, the Call to Glories are back on the table for the month of October. So if you know about those, if you normally get one to help you with your devotionals, they are back there. All right.
All right. And if any of you would like a piece of peppermint red velvet cake, I made one yesterday. And I'm trying to find out who the diabetics are. I know you won't be the judges, so I'm going to try to bribe the others for in case you judge. All right, we're looking forward to that. Well, 341. Let's all stand and sing Victory in Jesus. This is Miss Ramona's favorite. Glad to have her back. 341, we'll sing the first and last stanza. Sing out now. I've heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. For victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming.
Offering time, if Brother Joaquin and the fellows will come on up here in just a moment. I meant to say a big welcome again to Miss Poland and her family. And what made me think of Miss Poland was our service at the Waterford this coming Thursday night. And you folk have been coming to that, and we appreciate that. We have a good time at the Waterford. And if some of y'all, look, there's nothing else going on Thursday night that's worth it. And you ought to start to come on and join us at 7 o'clock, and we have a real, real good time. And it'll be a blessing, I promise. But right now it's offering and tithe and offering time. And you know what? God's been good to us these days. And He's been good to you. Been good to me. And all He asks is that we return what's rightfully His to Him. And so I want you to take part in this as God leads. Father, we thank Thee for the privilege now to give. Lord, we want to give cheerfully and gladly. And Lord, thank You for what You've done for us. And what I'm looking forward to the many blessings of the days ahead. Lord, bless now this offering. May every penny of it, Lord, be helpful to get the gospel out and the work of the church to go on. And we'll love You and praise You in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Steve will be back in just a minute to introduce our speaker, but before they come, the blessed trio is coming to sing for us.
but there will always be grace sufficient for you.
Church, he's coming someday, isn't he? He is coming, I promise. All right, Brother Tim, you come on up here. Pastor contacted Brother Griffin some time ago and asked him to come. And Brother Tim's been here before, sits on the front row there when we have meetings and things, and we're glad he's here. And I got a little biography here. Pastor wrote this down, so we'll see. But he's a member of the Bible Baptist Tabernacle up in Monroe. He's married to Miss Candace. And she's here. 4 children and 3 grandchildren. And one of the daughters is here and 2 of the grandchildren. And we're glad to have them. Brother Tim was saved in February of 1995. And of all people preaching during the service he was saved was Jimmy Rose. And he's the animal control officer at the Monroe Police Department. That's a good guy to know, isn't it? All right. I called to preach just a few months ago in June. Candace, his wife, is a registered nurse, and she teaches at Tabernacle Christian School in Monroe. But you know what the best thing about Brother Tim is? He's born again. and he's going to preach to us, so y'all listen to him. By the way, at the conclusion of the service today, we'll take up a love offering for Brother Tim, so y'all be praying about what the Lord would have you to give, okay? Brother Tim, you preach.
Brother, for the water. I'll go ahead and get a swig of that to wash that gum down. I had to swallow and got choked on from Candace. Oh, she was scolding me if I get up here. You ever seen a preacher up here trying to chew chewing gum and preach? That's a ugly sight. I am so thrilled to be here with you guys this morning. I just want to just take a minute to loosen up. I don't know, I'm always nervous anytime I handle the Word of God, but y'all have made us feel right at home, and I just want to say thank you for that. Brother Rick and Sister Judy have meant so much to Candace and I over the years. I mean, they've helped us grow, and they've just been so kind. When they were at Tabernacle, they worked in the school with my wife. Got so many great memories. I always thought if God called me to preach, I wish I could preach like Brother Rick. He has got a voice only a preacher could dream about having, really. But then he also has something to say. Not just a voice, but he's a man of God. And I just thank y'all so much, Miss Judy and Brother Rick, for having us. And, of course, Bethany and Brian and Andrew. And we sure love you guys. And y'all do pray for me today. Of course, I always, like I say, I get up here and sometimes my words sometimes feel like they go away. So y'all pray God will help me say what needs to be said, and what don't, I won't say. Amen. So if you got your Bibles today, if you'll open up to the book of Joshua chapter 2, and we'll try to get started. I want to tell Brother Steve, I appreciate that Sunday school lesson. That was really good to my heart, Brother Steve, I tell you. Prophecy is one of my favorite things. Matter of fact, I've been listening to a Brother Rob Decker, Preacher Leonard's son-in-law, on prophecy, the book of Daniel, and I tell you, it's just been a blessing to my heart, so I thank you for that, brother. I appreciate you studying and learning the Word of God. Amen. Thank you again for the good singing. That blessed my heart. I'm telling you what, I'm glad he first loved me. Amen. And I'm telling you what, it's just by His grace and by His help and His will this morning. That's what I'll be speaking to you just a few minutes about His grace. That's why I'm here this morning. I often thought, man, I tell you, I've seen Preacher Rick up at Tabernacle that was having revival, and him and his brother. I know y'all. Of course, this tears me up. I can't even. I tell you, brother Jeff and BJ. Well, I'm telling you, it's been such a blessing. I tell you, Brother Jeff has just been a friend to me. I mean, he got saved, and him and BJ's got faithful. And when I got down here, one of the first people to text me was Brother Jeff, Miss Judy. And I tell you, you just don't know. I tell you, it's just been good to my heart. And God's good, amen. And I'm telling you what, that just thrills my soul. I love to see folks get saved, get born again, as my brother said. I heard about the young lady said to come forward last week. Bless your heart. I'm so thankful to hear people still getting saved. Praise God. So, all right. Well, we was on our way down here, and of course I'm terrible with directions. And Trent said, "You know where we're going?" And I'm thinking, "Yeah, I mean I do." But I don't. You know, you ever been there? And of course, us men, we don't generally, we don't admit when we're wrong about, going in the right direction. Yeah, I heard an amen there. And so we was going along, and so I got a little turned around. It wasn't nothing major. I mean, we finally found a way. But it brings me back to a thought. Want to go in the right direction. I tell this a lot of times. It tickles me, but it helps me sort of loosen up. But I had an uncle. He had a family station wagon. Now, what behooved him to do this, I do not know. But they may have been some of that stuff you talked about earlier in Sunday school involved, Brother Steve. But he had the family station wagon. He took this thing to the drag strip. Now, that was a sightly thing to see, I'm sure, as he pulled the station wagon, the family wagon,
out there on the drag strip, and station wagons, they're known for their speed, you know. And so he pulls that thing out there, and I don't know, he'd done maybe a burnout or something, if it would. And so anyway, when he got ready to, he put it in reverse, and he backed up there to the line to get ready. Y'all know how it's got the lights, and they change, and then it goes green, and then you're supposed to take off, and, you know, you go down the track. Well, Uncle Wally, he lined up there at the line, and he got up there, and the lights turned, and he's with anticipation ready to take off, and all of a sudden, the light turns green, and he gasses it, but he forgot to put it in drive. It was still in reverse. So the station wagon backed off down the hill, and my dad said they could see the light shining up like an airport light, and just totally ruined the family station wagon because he was going in the wrong direction. So this morning, if you're going in the wrong direction, I pray by the grace of God, you can get turned around. You can get turned around. I'm going to read a few verses. You just stay where you're at there, and I don't want to get you confused. Y'all do pray for me. Like I said, I'm nervous. I do have something heavy on my heart, as Brother Steve brought out this morning, about Brother Rose. I tell you, Brother Rose has meant more to me and my family than you could ever imagine. I was just a sinner like you. And I had an uncle that was hooked on drugs and was living a life way out there. And he got saved. And he started going to Bible Baptist Tabernacle in Monroe, North Carolina. And one night they were having revival, and I knew nothing about Tabernacle, never really even heard much about it. And he invited us to come to church. And I came in that church that night. I had my mom and dad with me. Now, I wasn't raised in church, didn't know anything about the Bible like that young lady. I still don't know a whole lot. There's so much to be learned through this book. But I come in, I sit back there in that back row, and Preacher Rose, as he preached the gospel, like many of y'all have heard him do before. I mean, he just preached Jesus sweet, heaven sweet, and hell hot, and he preached. And I sat back there, and I realized for the first time in my life, I saw myself as a hell-bound sinner because of my sin. I realized that I was in trouble. I was headed the wrong direction. But praise God, that night I got up and I came down to this old-fashioned altar, and I got my direction going the right way. So this morning, that's my prayer. If you're here this morning and you're not saved by the grace of God, this will be the best day of your life, I promise you. So, as we get started here, I want to read a few verses to you. And like I said, you just stay where you're at. But over here in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, it just sort of stirred me up that over here it says, it's talking to Moses, and it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by thy name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight," and it goes on, and many times you're going to see this word, "that I may find grace." Like I said, you don't have to turn there. And then it goes on in verse 16, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" And then he says this again over in verse 17. He says, "For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Ain't you glad God knows you by name this morning? I'm telling you what. And so it goes on, and it speaks of when God comes through and he shows Moses his hinder parts. And, of course, that's the glory of the Lord coming by. But as I thought about that, I'm so thankful this morning. As I think about how God really, He calls us by name. He knows the grace that you need in your life this morning. He knows where you're at this morning. There's some people out here this morning, you're hurting. You're carrying heavy burdens this morning. You're carrying things in your life. You've got decisions that need to be made in your life. And maybe you're not exactly sure how to make those decisions and what you need to do this morning. So I want to hopefully, by the grace of God, I hope by the time this is over, it'll come together and we can get some help this morning. I pray the Lord would touch my heart, tender my heart this morning, that He could help us maybe, as we've talked about Jeremiah, being full of tears. Really, if I preach the way I should this morning, even though I haven't been called to preach very long, honestly, used to when I first got saved, and even still now, I've always tried to keep a tender heart. Used to, I couldn't even get up without even, I couldn't hardly say anything. I would stand up, and I would stand there, and I would stand there, and I would finally get it out. But God so tendered my heart because of the grace of God that He had poured into my life. You know, I think of it, I remember a story about a little fella. Him and his dad was down there fishing at the creek bank, and while they were fishing, this little puppy came up to him, and me being in animal control, of course, I perk my ears, perk up with animal stories. So a little fella, he said, Dad, can I take this dog to the house? And his dad said, no, son. Said, we're not going to take this dog to the house. Said, that thing's mangy, and it looks like it's about to die. Said, no, leave the dog alone. Said, don't touch him. He's nasty. And the little boy said, And so they started fishing a little bit longer. The dad looked over, and next thing you know, the little boy was giving him some of his sandwich. And the little puppy just come up to him, and he wouldn't leave the little boy alone. And so finally, they're getting ready to leave, and the dad said, come on, son, let's go get in the truck. And pleaded with the father one more time. He said, Dad, he said, can we please just take this little puppy with us? And he don't have no home. He don't have nowhere. Look at him, Dad. He looks terrible. And the dad said, no, said, let's just leave him here. So they started up to the truck, and they looked behind them, and the little dog was following them up the path. And he looked so wretched, and he looked so bad. And they got up there to the truck, and the little boy with them little tear-filled eyes, much like Colton and Carson do me a lot of times when they want something, they throw them old puppy dog eyes on me, and they know they got pawpaw wrapped around their finger. And so he said, Dad, please let me take the puppy. I promise I'll take good care of him. The dad said, okay. He said, you promise, and we're going to take him. And so they loaded the little fella up, and they took him, and they took him to the vet, and they got him all his shots. And the little boy started taking care of him, started feeding him, started getting him back to health. And about 6 months later, the little puppy was so beautiful. It turned out to be the most beautiful, the man says, the best dog we ever had. And I was thinking, you know, that's how God found many of us. We were like that puppy. We're Gentile dogs, the Bible says. And we were like that, but we were wretched. I don't know about y'all, but I was wretched when God found me. And I felt so sinful and so sorry for my sin because I knew what I was, Brother Steve. I knew that I needed help, and only God could help me. And so this morning, I want to share a story with you here in the Bible, and we'll be done. I'll try to be mindful of my time. I do think Bubba, he said, that's my oldest grandson there, he said, Papa, I want to sing a song. He was trying to get on the microphone, and I said, Bubba, no. I said, what you going to sing? He said, I'm going to sing the gummy song. I said, no, Bubba, I don't think they want you to sing the gummy song this morning. And so, but anyway, listen, when grace shows up in an unlikely place, I want to give you this real quick, and God help us. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God. I'm so glad this morning that where sin abounded, grace did abound so much more. I'm telling you what, as I read this story over in Joshua chapter 2, and some of you are going to know, and I'm going to read the end of it, and I'm going to start back at the beginning. It says right here, which I think this is just a picture of God's perfect grace in our life. All right, y'all know about Rahab. Y'all heard of Rahab the harlot? Thank God. I'm telling you what, the Lord shows us all through the Word of God. He doesn't show us the good folks. He seems to pick out the worst folks and say, let me show you what a picture of grace can do. He doesn't pick out the best one in the group. He seems to pick out the worst one. Sort of like Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. He didn't pick out the best ones. He picked out the worst one. And some of you in here that's been saved by the grace of God, you probably say, you know what? That's me. That's how I was before I got saved. But it says over here in the book of Joshua here at the end, it says, well, get to it here. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua, you saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall be set up at the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And so we see here, it starts out in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua sends out the spies to go spy out the land. And as they go spy out the land, they end up coming to a harlot's house. The harlot takes them into the house. And really, I'm telling you, what's going to get to your heart here, what touched my heart was, is when Rahab gets over there and they talk with her, and they felt that she ends up hiding the spies on top of the roof. Y'all remember? And then when they come looking for them, she sent them away where they wouldn't be harmed. And I'm telling you, it's amazing what God's done for this lady here, Rahab. Y'all know that the city Jericho, it was a fortified city. It was a big city. It was a very industrious type city. I mean, they found security inside this city. You know, a lot of times I'm afraid today people are finding security in the wrong things. They have maybe they have a nice house, a nice bank account. They may have some things that they feel secure in, but it's the wrong thing. These folks here were secure, but you know what? They were in trouble. They didn't realize it, but the judgment of God was about to fall on this city. And folks, I just want to say, look, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, and I'm afraid the judgment of God is about to fall on America. We're seeing the signs all around us. How can we be so, surely we're not so blind that we can't see what's going on before our eyes. I'm telling you, the preacher preaches a message. Our eyes have seen, and surely our eyes have seen that really we need to be getting about God's business this morning. And so I'm telling you, so as they come to Rahab's house here, this harlot, how God so changed her life. And then it goes on. But I want to read you a couple verses here, and then we'll be done. And it says, "And as soon as we heard," and this is talking about Rahab, "for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did we remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." And I want to stop right there for a minute. Our hearts did melt. Has your heart ever melted? I'm telling you, when things come into your life, I don't know about y'all, but we just had an incident up there next to us where a little boy, 6 years old, I don't know, it's been all over the news, a little boy named Maddox, and I'm telling you what, the whole community, I'm telling you, has been grieving up there over this little 6 year old. How our hearts would melt. I'm telling you this morning, if that was one of our kids here this morning, if it was one of my grandkids, do you know how that would so melt my heart this morning? And I just pray this morning that our hearts would be melted before God has to bring the judgment of God upon us, that we would realize that if we turn and get our direction headed in the right direction now, we can escape that great destruction. And that's exactly what Rahab did. All the folks there around her in this big fortified city. Here, Rahab was the worst one in the crowd. But you know what? Rahab ended up being the safest one in the city. And I'm going to tell you, you know, many times I tell stories, Brother Ralph, me and him, we like to share our police stories. And, you know, the reason I preach a lot of times on grace is because I've needed so much grace in my life. And I tell it like this, many times I've been going, you know, you've been going down the road and all of a sudden you might be going a little fast, and all of a sudden you see them dreaded blue lights, rip, rip. You're like, oh Lord, what have I done this time? And so, you know, hopefully you pull over and, you know, you do what you're supposed to do. And you know, even us law officers sometimes, we get going down the road. And this is really a picture of us, how we as Christians do. We're all, you know, even though we've been saved, we're still sinners. Amen. And we still need grace. We still need forgiveness. I hope I'm not the only one in here that, praise God. Y'all help me out this morning. Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. And so I'm telling you, so I was going down the road, and all of a sudden, a roop, roop, and I look up, and Candace is like, oh, I think he's pulling us. And I'm like, oh, my, honey, yes, I think you're right. And so we're coming back from revival. I'm thinking, oh, maybe he'll have grace on us and let us go. Yeah, amen. So he walks up to the window, and he says, sir, did you know what you were doing? I was thinking, yeah, I think I was speeding. My wife told me about four times, and I didn't listen. And so, you know, getting what I deserve, amen, is what she would say. And so he said, well, I tell you what. I said, but you know what? I said, but me being a law officer myself, I should know better. Yeah. Yeah, amen. So us being Christians, you know, we ought to know better. And so he looks at me and he says, well, you know what, brother? He says, I tell you what, so you work in Monroe? You officer there? And I'm like, yes, sir. He said, well, I tell you what, y'all just be safe, have a good trip, and I might need you sometime in Monroe. I said, praise God. If I can ever do something for you, brother, I'll help you out. Hey, I'm telling you, this morning, listen, it's a picture, though, of grace. Think about you as a Christian this morning. The grace that you have in the Lord this morning. Because you're going to need that. You're going to need that. You might not need it today, but there's going to come a time, and you're going to need it over and over and over and over again. Because you know what? Your heart's going to melt many times. This morning, I hope you're not sitting here so hard-hearted that your heart can't melt. You know, and I thought, well, there's been other times. And, you know, people say, well, hey, if the trooper gets behind you, the highway patrol, it's over. You're done. They'll write a ticket to their mama. And I'm like, amen, most of them will. So I had my boys with me and my father-in-law, and we're going out of town, and we're going on a little fishing trip over at Lake Tillery, and we're just booking down 74, you know, minding our own business. And all of a sudden, man, I look up, and you guessed it, whoop, whoop, blue lights again. I'm like, oh, Lord, what did I do this time? And so, but this time, I see a different color car, and I'm thinking, oh, my, that's not good. But you know, the first thing I thought, I hope I know him. I hope I know him. Yeah, amen. I hope I know him. And so when he gets out of the car and he starts back there, I'm like, oh, praise God, I know him. And so he comes up and he pulls me and an 18-wheeler over at the same time. And he says, hey, I know you. I said, yeah, you do. Thank you. And he said, Well, you were speeding a little bit, you know. I was like, was I? He said, yeah, you was. And he said, where y'all headed? I said, we're headed to go fishing over at Lake Tillery. And he said, well, I tell you what, man, y'all have a good fishing trip. Enjoy yourself. He said, I was wanting that truck in front of you anyway, so you just go on. I said, praise God. I looked over at me, amen, brother, thank you. I get some hand raising, shouting going on here if it ain't nothing else. And so, but you know what? Because I knew him. I hope this rings home with you this morning. Because I knew him, but not only because I knew him, because he knew me. And this morning, look, you might know the Lord, but you want to make sure, listen to me, that you're on a good enough basis that you feel like he knows you. Because when you come before him, just like Rahab here, and their hearts did melt, listen, I could tell more stories. You know what? Because I've been stopped, unfortunately, several times. And praise God, because there was something they seen. You remember the scarlet thread here that Rahab let down from the window? Well, I have a blue thread that hangs out of my car window. And y'all get that later on. But thank God. Because I'm telling you this morning, because when your heart melts, look, you're going to have to react somehow, some way. And God says, look, I have grace sufficient enough for thee when your heart melts. And that's what happened with Rahab. And you know what? This is what blesses my soul. After that, Rahab, you know, just like me, when I got saved, the first thing that happened is I become worried about my family.
the first thing. I went home. I told my wife. I went home. I told my children. I went to my mom and dad. And my mom and dad had been out of church for years. They had been unfaithful to church. Been saved, but been unfaithful to church. And you know what? God used an old country bumpkin like me. And y'all can probably tell. See, this was my dream to come down here and preach for y'all. But it might be y'all's nightmare. So just know that I'm enjoying myself and I'm just having a good time in the Lord, and I'm just telling you, God's been so good to me, and I'm just telling you, I still don't get tired of telling the old, old story, and I'm so glad of His grace this morning, and I'm so glad that you're here this morning, that if you need something this morning, I'm telling you, God's got exactly what you need this morning, and I'm telling you, I think so many times, I was working there at the police department, and one of the dispatchers, she come in one day, and I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen this, but she had a picture of one of those big square picture, and it's got patterns much like what one of the chairs would have, but in that pattern, you have there's a picture within the pattern. Y'all understand, y'all with me, y'all ever seen that, where you got to sit there and you got to look at it, and everybody says, you see it? I said, no, I don't see it. She said, well, keep looking. Do you see it? I said, okay, I'm looking. Man, I'm wanting to see it. I'm like, what in the world? And she says, you don't see it? And I said, no, what am I looking for? She said, do you not see the crown of thorns? I said, oh. So I was looking more intently now. I'm really studying this thing, Miss Judy. I'm like, well, I'm looking. I want to see it. And you know what? I sit there and I start looking, and about that time, picture starts coming clearer and clearer. I seen the crown of thorns, and all of a sudden, I seen the Savior hanging there on the cross. And as I sat there and as I looked at the picture, tears started running down my face. And I said, Miss Judy, I see it. That was her name also. And I said, I see Him hanging on the cross. I see Him. I see our Lord. He's hanging there. And this morning, as I preach to you, that's what I wish I could leave you with. I wish you could see a scattered, a messed up picture of a young man that doesn't know what I'm doing. But I want you to be able to see the Savior hanging high. I'm telling you, high and lifted up for all of you out here this morning. Because when your heart melts, you're going to need the grace of God. And as I sat there and I looked at that picture, and the more clear it became, the more excited my heart became. I said, you know what? I said, Miss Judy, can I take that picture home with me? She gave it to me. It's at my house now. But when I took it home, the first thing I did, I said, Candace, can you see? What do you see in this? She's looking. I don't see anything. I said, honey, just look at it. She said, I'm looking. Give me a hint. And so I started hinting, but you know what? One by one, they said, I see. Oh, I see Him. I see Him. And I'm telling you this morning, that's what happened with Rahab because her heart melted. He told her, he said, look, if you'll get everybody else into your house, get all your fathers, your mothers, the whole, get everybody in there. And everybody, when we come back, they'll be found saved alive. And I'm telling you this morning, you know what? When we get saved, we need to get concerned about others. God did not save us to sit on a church pew to try to look pretty or to try to do this or that. Of course, in my case, look ugly. But listen, God did not save you to just sit here idle in Anchor Baptist Church. God wants to do something great in your life this morning. And I'm telling you, Lord is using this church. And I'm telling you what, this morning, because you got people's hearts all over this community that are melting this morning. They're melting. And judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And then it wasn't long that they showed up. And you know, they marched around the Jericho there 6 times. And then on the 7th day, they marched around 7 times. And they didn't even have to lift a finger. They blew the trumpets. The walls come tumbling down. Now listen, Rahab, her family survived. Would you survive today? If judgment falls on this place, would you survive? You need to ask yourself, do I have the grace in my heart and life to survive? Just like I looked at that picture, and the clearer, the more clear it became, the more I realized, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. I'm telling you, this morning, oh, what a Savior we have. I pray this morning that you'll realize that you can't do this thing on your own. I'm telling you, I think many times throughout my life, how we try to do things on our own and it always seems to crumble and fall. Usually when I get to my wit's end, Miss Judy, then God takes over and works things out. I've had times where I thought my ship was going down, brother, for the last time. I thought I was done. I thought it was over. But God, I'm just telling you this morning. So I don't know what your need may be today, but I'm telling you, God's able to supply that need. So this morning, as we close with a word of prayer, I try to be mindful of my time. I don't know how when y'all usually let out, but I just want to let you know that when I read this right here, and I read about that scarlet thread, just make sure this morning that you got that scarlet thread running through your life. Because it's going to be important when it comes to the day of salvation, the time of redemption, the time of judgment. You're going to be glad. You know what? There's a lot of people making fun of Christians today, but you know they don't realize that judgment's coming. They don't realize, just like in the day of Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm telling you, when that ark, when God shut that door to that ark, as y'all hear it say, it was all fun and games then, it was over. When judgment fell, they realized, oh boy, it's too late. It's too late. Don't you reckon some hearts melted on that day? I'd say so. But you know who was in that ark? Noah, all his family. Listen, are you doing all you can do this morning to get your family inside the ark? I'm get real with y'all this morning. I got family. I got close family, much like what BJ and Brother Jeff would be to Sister Brother Rick and Sister Judy. And oh, how I would rejoice. I sit there in the pew and I just pray one day I get to see them break that altar. And I'm telling you what, I'll have me a Miss Judy shouting fit. I'll probably lift the roof off a tabernacle. But I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the day when God melts some hearts and some people that I know that are dear to my heart, and I won't call their name because I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but some of you have family just like that, and I pray God would melt our hearts as Christians to seek them in prayer, as Brother Steve brought out this morning. Are you praying? Do you care enough to reach out for your family this morning? Listen, I went, a lot of times I tell a story, I've told this all over wherever I get a chance, you know, a lot of times we get scared, fearful as Christians. We don't want to take that leap of faith. You know, I went to the mountains, it was with a church trip, and we got up there, and some of the people we were with, they wanted to do the bungee jump. And I'll be honest with you, I'm scared of heights, and I was very foolish for even saying this, but I said, yeah, I'll do that. That was crazy. And so we get ready to leave to go back home. I thought they had forgot about it. I thought, man, this is great. Everything's good. We're going to go home. And they said, oh, we forgot the bungee jump. And I was like, oh, no, we didn't. And so they picked the big highest one they could find over there. And so we get out of the van and we go up there. Ken Harbin and Brother Dave Klemmer, Miss Judy knows him, Miss Bethany knows these men. Well, they got up there and they jumped off, made it look so easy. So simple, Brother Steve. And then I had little kids that were jumping off. And they were saying, sir, would you please hurry and jump? And I said, I can't. And the man said, look, sir, you need to turn loose of the bars and just jump. And I'm like, sir, you don't understand. My hands will not turn loose. But as I stood there and I looked out across those mountains, it was higher and higher and higher. My heart was melting within me. I'm telling you, yes, amen. I felt the worst fear. I'm telling you, because all they wanted me to do was just, you know, jump off of a 75-foot cliff, you know, die right there in front of all my family and my church. I mean, that's all. And so I said, you know what, I'm not coming down here without jumping. And so finally, after watching about 25 kids go and all these adults and my wife and all the church folks had cricks in their neck looking up at me. Please jump. And so finally, I jumped. I took a leap of faith and I jumped. And when that thing caught me and I went boing, 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 you know, I'm like, yes, that wasn't too bad after all. But I don't want to do it again. And so this morning, listen, God may have a leap of faith that He's wanting you to take this morning, and it ain't easy. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, you've witnessed to that family member over and over and over again, only to feel like they've just rejected, really, Christ. We've done many things that we feel like we're fearful. Listen, y'all, I'm the same way. I'm just like you guys. There's things in my life that I want, by the help of the Lord and by His grace, to be able to overcome. This morning, folks, I just want to challenge you. Hey, you have something that only you can do this morning that God has specifically for you. So I want to encourage you this morning. Just like I talked about Rahab, she stepped out on faith. She could have been killed. Realize that? If they would have found her out because they were serving false gods, gods that weren't even real, had they found out, they would have killed Rahab. But you know what? Because Rahab stood out. She jumped off by faith and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. She was saved. So this morning, I don't want the world to feel sorry for me. God, I feel sorry for the world. Because what we have the goods this morning. And we need to share those goods with the rest of this world. And so this morning, I don't know what your need is, but I'm sure these altars are open. Whoever plays the music, if you come to the piano, if you would, let's bow for a word of prayer. And use this time to, if God has spoke to your heart this morning, why don't you come up here and ask Him if He'll help you before your heart has to be melted in a way that you can't get over it. Listen, wouldn't it be better to come to the Lord this morning than it would be to wait on the judgment? So I challenge you this morning, please come to Him. He'll take care of your every need. Lord, I humbly bow before You this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to preach Thy Word, Lord. I feel like I've been a total failure, but Lord, the Word of God stands on its own. You don't need me, Lord, I need You. And Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that even though I was nervous, that You'd let me stand up here in such a great church and proclaim Thy Word. And Lord, I can remember when You've melted my heart so many times. And Lord, I know there'll be probably times ahead. Lord, I hear about Brother Rose and the things he's going through right now. I can't even imagine that for such a great man of God, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd please touch him, help him and Sister Rose, Lord. As Brother Steve said this morning, may Your will be done. But yeah. Father, we beg Thee, Lord, we sure need You. Lord, I know that without You, Lord, I can do nothing. But Lord, with You, we can do all things. And Father, I pray, God, that You speak to Your people this morning. Thank You again for Brother Rick, Miss Judy being so kind to invite us, and just church being so friendly, so kind, what Christians should be like. Thank You for that. We love You, and thank You for all You do in Christ's name.
Take your hymnals, turn to number 60. Hymn number 60, we're going to sing a verse or two of "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." If you need to use the altars are open. If you need to be saved, if you need to trust Jesus, you can come and do that today. Let's all take a hymnal, number 60. Sing together. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Just this week, I heard a message on the radio about taking a leap of faith. And the preacher said, when was the last time you took a leap of faith? This altar's still open. If God's dealing with you right now, Miss Jenny, just play that song a little bit there. Just play it softly. If God's dealing with you, there's still time to do business with the Lord, taking that leap of faith. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, God bless you. Why don't you be seated for just a moment. By the way, Miss Mary, it's good to have you back with us. She's been gone all over the country the last few weeks. So good to have her back. But we're going to take up a love offering for Brother Tim. What a good message. What a great message. And I'm going to lift my hand up right now and say, I will never bungee jump. All right. How many of you say the same thing as me? All right, there. All right. But who knows? You just never know, do you? But we appreciate the message, Brother Tim. And I like that spirit. I thought he kind of took that walking around from Brother Scott Cowick a little bit. So he'd been watching Brother Scott preach. Well, what a great message. Well, the Lord has laid something on your heart to give this dear brother, and I hope you'll take advantage of that right now. So let's pray. Brother Joaquin, you pray for this offering, would you?